in full for a low annual cost, then BriskNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BriskNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BriskNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, proud citizens, sire two winners of the classic Grade 1 Kentucky Oak. Look around. Find another stallion that is sire two winners of the Kentucky Oaks standing for $15,000 live foal. His progeny has also won such graded stakes as the classic Alabama Stakes, the Delaware Oaks, the Matron, the Fairgrounds Oaks, the Peter Pan, the Valley View, the Tempted, the Razorback, the Early Times Mint Julep, the Mine Shaft, and the list just grows on. He sired the winners of over $4 million last year with 5 stakes winners and 3 others to place in stakes. He sired a total of some 70 stakes horses, 30 stakes winners, 4 champions. Proud Citizen won the Grade 2 Coolmore Lexington Stakes, ran second in the Kentucky Derby, third in the Preakness, and he's the son of Sire Sire's Gone West, from the female family of the great Natalma. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and sees owns Airdrie Stud. See the website, airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning, and it's a balmy 27, I believe it is, when we got here this morning.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think the car said 27, and the guy on the radio said 24, but what's he know?
Well, you can't believe anything on you here on the radio.
That's
you
know, exactly right.
You know how that goes.
You know.
Well, anyway, we're here at the Clocker Stand, as usual, at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris Pike. The sun's shining real bright. It's warm coming in here, and the heaters even went off, didn't it? Yeah.
But it's, they had to turn it off. It got too hot.
Yeah, but it's – well, I'm glad winter finally got here anyway. Yeah.
So yeah.
I don't have to break any ice. We've got our waters working real
good.
Yeah,
thanks to Terry Tubbs.
Yeah, bless his heart.
Came out there, and we've got Varnans, which are great. Our Varnans are pretty old. And what are they, about 15?
Yeah, I would say 12, 15 years old.
Yeah, and sooner or later you get fittings that kind of, you know.
Yeah, wear a little bit.
Crummy and stuff like that. But he put them, they're so simple. Varnans are wonderful. There's not much to them. So you can replace parts and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, parts are relatively inexpensive.
Yeah, it's on the same principle. It cracks me up. It's on the same principle as the back of your toilet. You know how that fills up to a certain point and quits?
Yeah.
That's what these do.
Mm-hmm.
Hube is a genius.
Yeah, Hube Johnson invented those things.
Yeah.
Oh, good old Hube. Of course, he's right down here on the Paris Lexington Road in Bourbon County. Hawkeye Farm.
And the real other you buy the big parts from him, but the replacement things are all at your hardware store or what are those other places, Home Depot, that kind of stuff.
Well, that's, anyway, it's nice to walk out there in the morning, and you know, the other morning it was down around 1 or 2, something like that, and walk out and a nice tepid water, and you know,
yeah, they've got
the
heaters in them. Ours have got heaters, and it gets horses to drink more in cold weather. If they drink warm water, it keeps them hydrated, which is can be a problem in real cold weather, and might not want to drink too much cold.
Yeah, so Terry got them fixed. Terry Tubbs got them going for us real good. And
keeps us going on that place.
I tell you what, he takes care of us old folks now.
That's right.
Can't do things
good
that
guy.
We used to do, you know, think.
Right.
Get up.
Exactly. Walk.
Move.
Exactly right.
Well, you know, that's what happens. But anyway, we're still going at it. Well, let's see. What are we doing today? Well, Steve Stewart. Never met Steve. He's in the standard horse business. But he's based at the old Stoner Creek Stud, John D. Hertz's old farm down in Bourbon County. And he's going to come in, and I'm going to find out a little bit about standard horse business today.
Standard bred horse business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know absolutely nothing about, you know, I mean, I guess I've been to the trots 3-4 times in my life. Didn't know what I was looking at then, but...
Well, I've been out there, but it was for Junior League, so it's not the same thing.
No. Different breed there, but, you know, I know that at one time, a lot of the thoroughbred breeders around here, Henry Knight started out with standard breds. Calumet, John Gaines.
Yeah.
Of course, it was mostly John's father. Big farms, you know, Castleton was
Elmhurst.
Walnut Hall was big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And most of them are gone now.
Walnut Hall has still got standard breds.
Well, I don't know who
it is. Meg Jewett is out there. She's got Harkness, LB Harkness.
Okay.
That's her store.
Yeah. Well, I bet
she's
still
out there. And she's got about 100 head out there, standard bred still.
Is that right? I've got a few questions. I want to know why they turn them all out without halters. But I've noticed that down through the years. You go by a standard bred farm and you look out and none of them have halters on.
That's right. They don't.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't make them big enough.
Oh.
That's because a derogatory term is jugheads. We don't know anything about horses' heads.
Susie just said we don't know anything about horses' heads. That's because there's a lead pony out here that she used to own. And I've seen better heads on a mug of beer than that horse has got, I'll tell you.
His name is Big Nose Nate.
Is that his real name?
Yeah, Big Nose.
Big Nose Nate.
Yeah.
And believe me, he lives up to it, okay?
So I don't want to hear about
that. She's always sticking up for ugly horse.
She's real real sensitive about that.
She does.
Well, he's by De Jure out of an affirmed mare, so he's got that.
De Jure out of an affirmed mare.
By a champion sprinter out of a mare by a Triple Crown winner, and he's still got an ugly head. Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center since we were on the show last week. Well, we ended up the month with 37 winners. And since last week, Matt Frazier won another one down at Hialeah. Now, he won six races with quarter horses, including a stakes race down there in about 3 weeks. So he's really rolling. Let's see. Let's get back to the thoroughbreds. Paul Brown won at Turfway. All these winners are at Turfway. Paul Brown won with a Silver Daddy of Mine, I think it was. Eduardo Caramori won one. Laura Bielma won another. And Laura's been on kind of a roll. I think she's won three or four here lately. Tim Shue, who trains for Art Preston, and Tim won another one. They do very well, incidentally. John Gaver, now there's a historic name. His father trained for Green Tree, and his grandfather trained for Green Tree. You know, they train Tom Fool and all those top horses. Shutout, the Derby winner. Paul Garcia had a winner. And on January the 1st at Turfway, Dale Loveland saddled a winner. So that's how many since last week's show? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 winners since last week's show. Well, that's not too bad, you know.
No.
All right. What else we're doing today? Let's see. Of course, Steve's supposed to come in. Steve Stewart at the top of the hour. I don't know if Doug's going to come today or not. I was talking to him earlier in the week. He's feeling all right now. He had a little bout with something earlier in the week, but he's feeling all right. But, you know, it's he drives and the weather's not that good and everything. I told him to play it by ear if he feels like coming, of course, go
if
ahead.
He gets here, he has to walk up a snowy path.
Yeah.
I don't think Susan's going to go for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
by the way, the cane that we presented him with from Dr. Stuart Burns, I talked to him. I said, how's that? I talked to Stuart. And so Stuart wants to know if that cane fits you. And Doc says, I love that cane.
Yeah.
So that's a great cane. I love that cane.
That's great.
Because I didn't, you know, so he says, I called Stuart and thanked him, and I didn't thank him enough for that. You know, so I love that cane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he likes it mostly because Stuart gave it to him.
Exactly. Sure.
But anyway, it was.
Stuart's a good guy. Stuart needs to write short story things of his, you know, that he knows.
Yeah.
Goofy clients and all that kind of stuff, because that man can write.
Yeah, and these little notes, you know, that he sends you. And,
well, we got their annual Christmas thing, but we'll do it. And, of course, Stuart doesn't see as much anymore, and he said he sits on the front porch with the dogs occasionally barking at things that flew by. That's a gift.
He lives down in Bourbon County also. Let's see, because Michael Blowen's coming. He'll be in here in a few minutes, I do suppose. Steve Moody with the, he's doing the fairground sheet now. Of course, he's with Bloodstock Research Information. They're running the Panzeretta Stakes down in the fairgrounds. Of course, she's buried there. And at the, what are you showing me there?
L.V. Harkness.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Panzeretta died down at the fairgrounds. She ran 151 times, won 76 races.
Wow.
During her career. Wow. She was foaled in 1910 by a horse named Abe Frank.
Oh, funny.
He's by Hanover. So, you know, if they had one generation away, but I never heard of Abe Frank before. Out of a mare named by Rancocas, and she's a Texas bred. But in spite of that, she ran 151 times, had 76 wins, 31 seconds, 21 thirds, that was 128 times in the money, and she earned $39,082. Can you imagine that? Purses weren't too good back then.
What you said, can I ask about one thing you said by Hanover?
Yeah, Hanover.
Hanover was a thoroughbred.
Yeah, I know.
But he's the foundation sire for standardbreds.
Well, maybe it's a different Hanover standardbred.
No, I don't know.
I will
ask the guy.
All right, okay. She won at some major tracks, you know. She won at Churchill Downs. Latonia, that was back when Latonia was a big blind. She won at Lexington here. She won at the old Douglas Park down in Louisville, one at the fairgrounds at Oaklawn, one at Aqueduct, Jamaica, Empire City, and at Saratoga. So she was at the race. She also won in Idaho, Utah, Montana, bunch of races up in Canada, the old Windsor track up there, Connaught Park, and Blue Bonnets. She won it in Quebec, won at Fort Erie, and she won at a track at Hamilton, Ohio. So, that's old Panzeretta. She, as I said, she is buried. She and Black Gold are buried at the fairgrounds racetrack. All right. Michael's here. So I'm going to take a break here and do this, my commercials. And let's see. Weanlings from the first crop I trap shot averaged over 7 times the stud fee in 2013. All but 2 of the 22 offered at auction found new homes. He's a good-looking horse. He's sighing, eye-catching individuals. In fact, if you haven't seen him lately, and I have, I suggest that you do so, because, believe me, he's impressive. He was impressive at the races, too. And he's the son of the very popular and successful sire, Tappet. Trap Shot won 6 races by a combined 38.5 lengths, posted a 111 buyer in the Grade True 2 North, 6 furlongs and 8 and 4, ran on 109 flat to take the Waldorf Stakes, went around 2 turns in Mama's Long Branch Stakes, was second by nose in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt, had a 112 buyer that day, second in the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational to Looking at Lucky, bested First Dude and Super Saver that day, a half-brother to a Grade 1 winner and a millionaire misshot from a great female family. Trap Shot, standing for $10,000, payable when the foal stands and nurses. Contact Bernie Sams over at Claiborne Farm. See the website at claibornefarm.com. Well, Indian Creek has long been noted for their high-quality sales consignments, and their consignment to the January sales out here at Keeneland, that lives up to that tradition. On Tuesday, now, Indian Creek is offering 4 infoal mares that would be an asset to any broodmare band. Infoal to Blame is a young daughter of Saddler's Wells that placed in stakes and earned over $182,000. There's a half-sister to a Grade 1 stakes winner and millionaire, Infoal to Malibu Moon, a mare that has already produced 3 graded stakes horses, Infoal to Candy Ride, and a stakes place winner of more than $112,000. She's a half-sister to 4 stakes winners and to the Dam of a Champion, and she's in fold to Escondrea. If you're looking for a broodmare prospect, check out a young daughter of Empire Maker out of Grade 1 placed mare by Dancy. Also in the consignment are 2 nice yearlings, a colt by Eclipse Award winner Kate Blanco and a filly by Proud Citizen. Proud Citizen, of course, has already sired 2 Kentucky Oaks winners. This filly's dam is a stakes place winner of over 433,000. You find them in barn 14, they sell Tuesday. Then go to barn 46 to inspect Indian Creek's Thursday consignment. And to ensure your purchases, contact the Clay Ward Agency in Paris, Kentucky. Telephone over there is 859-987-1861. Once again, you'll find Indian Creek's top quality consignment at Keeneland in barn 14. Well, Pope McLean Crestwood Farms offering 9 yearlings plus a breeding prospect by the good Sire Harlan's Holiday Tuesday at Keeneland. The yearlings are coaxed by Exchange Rate, Sydney's Candy, A.P. Warner, A.P. Warrior, fillies by Flatter, Street Hero, Kodiak Cowboy, Concord Park, Indigo Shiner, Leroy Sanimo. They're in barn 25. Then on Thursday, go to barn 49 to find yearlings by Leighton Heaton, Dublin and Silver Tree, Nico Bay, Mambo, Arch, Arch, Arch. Plus Brood Mares and Foals, too, Champion Hansen, Old Fashioned, No Biz Like Showbiz, Johar. While you're in town for the sale, you're invited to an open house at Crestwood Farm tomorrow from noon till 5 for your inspection of the Crestwood Stallions, including two additions to the 2014 Stallion ranks there. Bullet Train, a group stakes winner, winning three-quarter brother to the Great Frankel, and Grade 1 stakes winner and millionaire General Quarters. Registered to win free stallion seasons at the showing. And for more info, get in touch with the farm, 859-252-3770, or you can see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Good morning, Michael Blowen from Old Friends, and how are you this morning?
I'm good, Ursel. How are you?
I'm doing just fine and dandy. It's almost up to freezing, isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, it's fabulous. It's balmy. Let's go swimming.
Let's don't. I can't even get Jackie to go swimming in the pool over in Paris at the Y.
I grew heated, up with pickled fingers, you know, and swimming. Anyway, Michael brought this Courier Journal. Is it today's?
Yes.
Yes, and it's continued on page 3.
Jenny Reese has a fabulous story.
Who took page 3, Michael?
It's nobody. It's not on page 3. It's on page 9, the continuation, I think.
Page 9? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I need new glasses.
Jenny Reese wrote a wonderful story about life after racing and Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance that they started and everything. It's a wonderful story in today's Courier Journal.
Good.
And she, you know, it's not just about Old Friends. It's about a lot of other really good groups. So.
Yeah.
Well, everybody getting together trying to do something for these old guys, and I think it's really going to be great. The timing couldn't be better because tonight's a great dinner at Keeneland for the Thoroughbred Charities of America, so we should get out there and bid on these stallion seasons.
Let me see that, Jackie.
Bid on these stallion seasons for the TCA. I'm sure you'll get some bargains.
Yeah, but bidding's open over the phone.
You can do it over the phone, too, but it's more fun going to the dinner. You see everybody. You see breeders coming in from all the different states. And, you know, it's a nice occasion. The food's good. Drink's great.
What about the weather?
And it's inside, so you don't have to worry about the weather.
That's good. Now, telephone auction started Thursday. Here we go, 276-4989.
What time's the dinner start? What time's the bar open?
let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
6 here. O'clock somewhere. Here you go.
Okay, good. Excellent. And
you
they're
can
honoring.
Go over in the grandstand and get yourself something to.
And this is really great. They're honoring John and Debbie Oxley too with their
special
award. And they help John and Debbie Oxley. You never hear them. You know, you never hear their names mentioned a lot with all this stuff. But they do a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And they gave a very, very generous contribution to Old Friends this year. And I'm sure they did it for other people too.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I know. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Are they from Canada?
That's really good.
I believe they are, aren't they?
No, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
He just races a lot in Canada.
Yeah, right.
Mark Cassie. Yeah.
Mark Cassie trains for him.
And
Johnny Ward used to train for him.
Yeah.
The Derby winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Derby winner is still over on Charles Knuckles' farm. And Knucks takes care of all of John's mares and horses and stuff when they're laid up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
That's really good.
That dinner tonight, it opens at 6:30.
6:30. Okay, good. That means I can play the early double at Santa Anita and still get over there in time.
That's the way it goes. You might pay your way in.
Yeah, or I'll be extra seats, any seats.
Yeah, there you go.
Like the guys outside the UK games.
Yeah.
Got seats? Yeah, that'll be all right.
I often wonder what they're doing.
What?
Those guys that holding up seats, you know, you drive.
They're making money on
them. You drive by the Opera House, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
They're always out there. Need tickets? Got tickets. Need tickets? Got tickets.
Whatever happened to Duxie? Duxie could get you a seat. Is Duxie still with us?
I don't know.
You ever hear of Duxie? Would,
doesn't sound like it. Doesn't what? Sound like Duxie's still with us.
Oh, yeah. Duxie's still around.
Is he?
Duxie was the best.
Was he?
Duxie could get you a seat at the coronation of the queen.
There's a guy like that in Saratoga, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, he keeps everything on that. File cards and everything, and he sells seats for the whole Saratoga meet and makes enough money to keep him through the whole year.
I went to high school with Duxie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were good friends. I saw him not too long. It's been 4 or 5 years since I've seen him.
Is he still working?
Yeah, I think we should do more advocacy as ticket scalping and ripping people off. I really do.
listen, there are people that want these tickets.
No, I know. I'm going on Wednesday night with Paul Isaacs. He invited me to have a date.
To the UK how sweet.
Game. Yep.
Mississippi State, they're playing next Wednesday. So that's kind of an odd time. 8 o'clock.
I believe that's late.
Yeah. I believe it's an 8 o'clock tip.
TV determines everything now.
Is it?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And it's on.
Rusty said it's 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Hey, that reminds me. In Cincinnati, if the Bengals hadn't sold out, they were going to black out the stuff. Kroger's, good old Kroger's went in there.
Bought all the tickets
and given them to vets and military people.
Perfect.
Not wonderful.
Win-win.
Hear, hear for Kroger, yeah. Good old Kroger's.
Of course, the price of milk went up to 4 cents. But
that's okay.
That's Ursula. Always look on the bright side.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I thought that was just.
You know, there are people who believe the glass is half full and half empty, and there's some people who believe it's always empty.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, that's because I drink it.
Speaking of drinking, I went over and had a beer with Dr. Byers last night.
Oh, good.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. I'm glad Doc is drinking that beer, Dan.
Well, he wasn't drinking the beer. He was drinking a Coke, but I was drinking the beer.
Two
and
for
he
two.
Gave me some. He gave me some tips.
Uh-oh.
And I'd like to first file this disclaimer. I'm not a veterinarian. I only play one on the radio.
Okay.
As long as you don't bill like one.
Yeah. No, believe me.
Yeah.
Believe me. But he wanted to say a few things. He wanted me to say a few things, pass along a few things to notice about the horses in the cold weather.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead. Okay.
Look at him. He's looking at me. He can't wait for me to make a mistake.
Yeah,
look at him. He's like that nun I had in the fifth grade. Go ahead. Say one thing wrong. I'm going to stop.
I'm just going to take into consideration.
Stick your hand out and get that ruler smacked on it.
Exactly right.
I'm just going to take into consideration that you slept at a Holiday Inn last night.
There you go. I love that. Anyway, here are a couple of really quick things. He said the most important thing is that the horses that are out have a fluffy coat. Because that provides the insulation, it keeps their heating system running, and you shouldn't have any major problems as long as that's
right.
happening. And the only problems they get is if they wear blankets for too long and it pushes all that fluffiness down, or if they get wet. And so it's hard if they get wet and it gets down. But he says they usually figure out before we do how to deal with that. So you don't want to flatten the hair down. You want to keep it fluffy. That's the most important.
So get out there with your hair blow dryers and fluff it up.
Yes, and you can also notice if they have frostbite on their ears, it turns gray and white, and so you have to keep an eye out for that. That could be a problem. Then he gave me a lot of words I can't pronounce, but I'll try and I won't pronounce the words. I'll just say what they do. He says it's very important too that they warm themselves through their nasal passages, so make sure that their nasal passages are clear, and that's very important. And now, as soon as I get off the air today, he'll call me on the phone and say, "Oh my God!" But anyway, there's our little tips from Dr. Byers.
So, they have to breathe.
And if he doesn't like it, he'll have to come in here and speak for himself.
There you go.
Don Combs just walked in.
Oh, right. Hi, Don. Here we go. We got Kentucky Derby winner here, and a lot of other things too. Besides that, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
So Deputy down, Commander.
Sit down. Let me get out of the way. No, you stay there.
No.
He's the commander to deputy commander.
If you're going
to
talk, you got to sit down. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, wouldn't it? Now, Jackie's the one that sits over here in this chair behind me about 6 yards away and talks, not you, Holly. I'm talking about. And she talks, and I'm supposed to interpret, I guess.
Have you ever seen that book?
Which book?
When I left for you to read.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen it before.
I have seen it, but I don't have it. And
I thought you might want to look at it.
I'm reading it.
Oh, good.
Good. Yeah, thank you,
Don. It's got all the old farms in it. You know, it brings us back memories, you know.
Yeah. He brought a book about rooting in 1940 by Joe Jordan, who was a journalist for the Lexington Leader.
And the Transylvania Printing Company did it. They did the book, yeah.
Yeah, they printed that thing. Yeah. But, well, it's interesting. Yeah. And it kind of came in handy.
And it's got her father's name right in it.
Really?
Yeah.
He was a man.
Nice. Talking about Dixiana.
He's a man. He's got all the old farms in it. All the old.
I found a couple of mistakes in it, though.
Oh, you already found some mistakes?
Naturally, he did.
Yeah.
I heard some mistakes.
Everybody that wrote it's dead now and can't correct it, but he's still nailing them.
Sometimes I find that those people make mistakes on Pawn Stars. Well, they had an expert, had this shoe for a second here, it came down, and this guy's expert came down there. He said, you know, and he only lost one race. Well, of course, he lost two races. He lost his first race, and he lost to Wood.
Yeah.
But
he got beat by 8 different horses, as a matter of fact.
Is that right?
Yeah. He ran fourth, so it was three in his first start. Then he lost the third in the Wood, three, four, five. Uh-huh. I guess it was 7 horses.
Yeah, that's all.
And then, no.
He didn't lose but 2 races.
He lost 2 more after that. Secretariat? Yeah.
When? Where?
He got beat by Onion.
Onion beat him and Prove It? Prove Out? Prove
Out. But those horses that what's called trained, but did you check it out.
I'll bet you a ham sandwich.
No, I can't afford a ham sandwich.
He's beaten by 7 horses. Horses finished.
Well, I know that what's called it, Onion, he beat somebody good, and he with the other horse, he had a, was it Prove Out? Was that the other
one?
Yeah. He beat 2 really good horses with those 2 horses.
Alan Jerkins.
It was for Secretary.
It was Secretary?
Yeah.
Well, that guy missed 2 other ones. And he only got beat 1 time. You know, I know the first time out. He was 4th, I think. I knew it. I know he was 3rd in the Wood. That's the only time I knew he got beat.
And Sham finished in front of him that day. Sham was 2nd.
In the Wood?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the Wood.
I know because Alfred Glenn Vanderbilt, who owned Native Dancer, of course, and lost 1 race, mm-hmm. when they put that statue up of Secretariat in New York, he went to look at it.
And they put the wrong thing on there, huh?
He looked around and looked around and walked around and said, well, I see they left enough room on there for the names of all those horses that finished in front of him.
Racing's a great sport, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but then, no, it's... I counted that up in my head.
All right, you probably know before I would, but anyway...
If I'm really, if I'm willing to risk a ham sandwich,
I can't bet something like that. I can't make a bet like
usually
that.
Usually it's 2 slices of white bread is all it's
going to be. I want to ask you, I know Ray Asher died a couple days ago, and he had that old horse he claimed back called... what's that horse won all those races, that claiming horse? I can't think of his name, but Bonnie called me yesterday, and she needs to find a place for it. And, you know, he won probably 200 and close to 300,000 probably. What was that horse's name? Jimmy something. I don't know. Barco trained him here. He had him for. He used to win all those starter races. Won a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And somebody claimed him. He finally got somebody to claim him back up in New England. He had him over the farm that he passed away for his wife. I don't know what to do.
But we'll have her call me.
I said, you should. There's some of these places. They've recommended making a pony on him. I said, no. I said, find one of these places. Donate him one of those places. They'll fool with him, ride him from a little kid or something. But they
How old is he?
He's probably 7 or 8.
Well, if he can go on to another career, then they can call new vocations. They can call rerun. You know,
yeah, that's what I was telling them. Yeah.
When he gets through with that career, then they can call me.
Yeah. Give me a call when you get off, and we'll get in touch with Lisa Malloy at Rerun.
Okay. Okay.
She's really good.
And I'll call Monty, but they're trying to find something for it. I said, well, this is what I would recommend to do, one of those places. And he's a neat old Jimmy. What is that horse's name? But anyway, I can't remember.
We like horse's name, Jimmy. We have the names Jimmy.
Jimmy something, I think.
Yeah. You know who's coming next week? Rail Trip.
Rail Trip?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great California horse. Earned over $1 million. Won the, I think we got more winners of the Hollywood Gold Cup than any farm in history.
You're cornering the market.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have Lava Man. Once Lava Man comes in eventually, hope he comes before I die.
You think you'll get him?
Yeah. Jason Wood's still working on it, and he owns part of them.
Hey, I got to take a break here.
Another break?
Have you been on the air? We've been talking on the air?
Yeah.
Well, so
I didn't know that these mics were on.
This is the only place I can. This is the only place I can talk without Jackie interrupting.
Oh, me. I understand. I got you.
Don, you won't do. Well, the list of mayors bred to First Defense, 117 of them last year, they produced foals by him in 2013, reads like a who's who of racing. He's receiving strong support not only from Judmont Farm, where he stands, but from outside breeders. And that's what happens when you saw a classic win and a millionaire in your first crop. And that's just what First Defense did. Of course, it doesn't hurt that he won Grade 1 stakes and that he has a great pedigree. He's by Unbridled Song. Of course, he's gone. So I have 104 stakes winners, and he's out of Grade 1 winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. And, of course, Honest Lady is one of four Grade 1 winners out of Grade 1 winner and Broodmare of the Year, Troussard, a list that includes two superior sires, Empire Maker and Chester House. First Defense, 2014 stud fees, $15,000 live foal. Also at Judmont is Mizzen Mass, sire of the 2013 Breeders' Cup champion, classic winner in France, and in 2012 of two Breeders' Cup champions. Mizzen Mass stands for $20,000 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke are in France. See the website at judmont.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Well, the first foals by Super Saver are two-year-olds, and expectations are high for their success, and for good reasons. Super Saver was himself a superior winner, runner at two, broke his maiden as a two-year-old by seven lengths, then moved to Churchill Downs, where he won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. Then, of course, he's sired by Maria's Mon, champion two-year-old of his year. At three, Super Saver won the race that's the dream of every breeder by becoming the second Kentucky Derby winner for his sire. Super Saver, out of a daughter of champion sire AP Indy from a great family, has even more going for him. He covered 369 mares in his first three seasons at stud. He's a super individual and a busy one, too, sighing super individuals. The fact verified from the first crop yearlings, average $100,803. And he stands at Windstar Farm, a farm noted for developing top sires. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, a chance, Tim. The number over there is an 859-873-1717. Come to the open house Monday through Friday from 11 to 2. Lunch served, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. By seven horses. He lost four races and got beat by seven different horses. He lost his first start and got beat by three horses. We're talking about Secretariat again. He lost the Wood and got beat by two horses. He lost twice to Alan Jerkins' horses. That's four losses and seven horses in front of him. Anybody want to bet on it?
Well, the girl over here's got down to, she got three. The girl,
Holly says
girl,
three. Holly's looking up on the
Well, Holly, here. I'll bet you a ham sandwich, too.
There's going to be a lot of ham sandwiches here next week.
We almost have to buy a whole
I'll
ham.
Do better than that. I'll bet you a Red State barbecue.
Oh, we had that the other night. Oh, my goodness. I went to Red State the other night. It was fabulous.
Is that out on Georgetown Road?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try that. I've heard y'all talk about it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
It's reasonably priced and really excellent.
Yep. Good food.
We're going to have a get-together sometime in January. They're going to cater it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Am I invited?
Of course.
I'm sure there's a fee to get in, but other...
We'll put a Sam Adams in the corner for you.
All right. I have to go to his fridge to do that.
Yeah.
He puts all the Budweiser or something out there that nobody wants. Human beings shouldn't be drinking.
That might be a little less, a little cheaper than that other good stuff, huh?
Well, yeah, it is. The other stuff's a little cheaper, but
he's got it in his
all fridge. These breweries are great. In fact, I'm meeting with a guy today. We're having a meeting today about talking to the local breweries about putting out each of them putting out a beer named after one of our horses.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
That's great. Yeah, so that's they could have
a lot of beer.
Well, we're not going to do every horse every time, but every year I think we could do a different one.
Trying to think some of those names out there. That
Sunshine Forever beer would be good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then you could do a Sarava, you know, which would be a stout, you know, get it to look like Sarava, you know.
He'd be a pretty horse, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, pick a bigger horse for, you know.
He won the Belmont Stakes. That's pretty big.
Well, he's a Florida bred. Hell.
He's unbelievable today, isn't he? No matter what you say, it's wrong. Right, Don? Huh?
Florida bred. We love them.
I'm telling you, I'm glad he's going home with Jackie, not me. My goodness gracious.
I'm not sure he's a Florida bred.
Huh?
I believe he is, but I'm not sure he is.
No, I think he is.
You went to stud down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I'm not. Bet him I have a sandwich on that.
Yeah, I'm not. No.
You're trying to get even.
Yeah, really. Hey, I should say, Jay Hubdy has a great column tomorrow about old friends. I want to plug.
In the Sunday edition?
Mm-hmm. It's in the Sunday edition. Can I steal it from you?
How in the hell am I going to read it? Go, all right, go ahead. Let me see. I can probably get it online.
Huh? Yeah, you can get it online.
Yeah, all right. All right.
No, I'll get my own copy.
No.
I want you to read it. It's really good. He did a great job, and I really appreciate it.
No, that's okay. I just, you know, got to take care of you.
Is that how the forms look these days? It's like a little book?
Where have you been?
Oh, I've been like, it's been like this for 7 years, Don.
Oh, no.
No, I'm only kidding.
I've never seen those before.
I like it.
So, yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah. You know, the old ones were always blowing away in the wind, you know.
They got two stories. They got one in this edition and one in Saturday and Sunday this week. We got the double this week.
Ah, swear. Okay, now this is you're leaving me the Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I got to have that.
All right.
You know, I can't watch TV.
All right, I'm gonna go. I've got to get ready for my beer meeting.
Your beer meeting?
We're meeting at Keeneland. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. I'm having lunch at Keeneland with the beer guy, and I'm having dinner at Keeneland for the TCA auction. Don't forget that tonight. It's going to be a good party.
All right.
And bring your money. Get some bargains on some of these stallions, and it's all to support Thoroughbred Charities of America. And it's this is their 24th annual auction. That's pretty darn good. They've been doing a great job for a long time.
Does it help best friends, though?
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, it helps a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and we might even make enough, so if I lose this bet to Ursula, I'll be able to actually purchase that ham sandwich.
What's the bet?
Huh? I'm not betting with you.
What is a bet?
I don't bet. I only bet on horses. I don't bet on anything else. I bet on nothing else. Just
nothing
horses.
Else?
No. I don't trust humans.
Right.
They talk about racing being fixed. Oh, my God. What about the humans? Forget about it.
Yeah, well, we don't want to get into politics here.
No. But anyway, Ursula, thanks a lot, and Dr. Byers, I hope I didn't goop it up too badly, but if I did, you can come in and correct me next week, and that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he'll be here, I'm sure, next week to cover for you.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And Don, as always, it's great to see you.
Good to see you, Michael.
All righty. Well, thanks, Michael. We'll see you later.
All right.
Don't drop too much money at the races.
I got a designated driver tonight, too, so.
Diane, I hope.
Huh?
Diane, am I going to drive for you?
I'm trying to get Diane to come. My friend Nick Newman, who's a firefighter,
who has
horses. He's a really nice guy. Does tours for us and everything.
Yeah, I know Nick.
He'll come pick me up and drive and everything, so it'll be really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Nick. All righty. Let's see, where am I? I'll catch up here. December 27 at Aqueduct Expression. A filly from the first crop by Invisor, won a $74,000 optional allowance. And the next day, also at Aqueduct, Fulton, also from the first crop by Invisor, won a $48,000 starter allowance. Expression, bred in Kentucky by Stone Farm and Joseph Sutton, has earned over $271,000 and has placed in two stakes in 2013, both at Belmont Park. Fulton, bred in Kentucky by York LLC, has earned $229,320. Invisor, in 2013, was also represented by Alsis, the winner of the Grade 3 Modesty Handicap, and placed in three stakes. The Grade 1 Beverly D, the Maria G. Krantz Memorial, and the Bayou Handicap. Far earnings of over $331,000. St. Arthur, winner of the Ontario County Stakes, and placed in three other race stakes, including a second in the Bertram F. Bongard at Belmont. And Chichenko, second in the Manatee Stakes down at Tampa Bay. Hall of Famer Invisor, winner of nine Grade 1 stakes, and of over $7,804,000 stands for $4,000 live full at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com. All right, I want to talk a little bit about Quill and Leather and Tack down in Paris, Kentucky. It's the nation's number one tack shop, as a matter of fact. The nation's largest custom halter tack shop. They mail out over 17,000 halters a year worldwide. I tell you what.
I just got two down there not too long ago.
Don Combs just said he just bought two down there not too long ago. They make great halters, don't they, Don?
I've got the ones with a snap one that come underneath also.
Yeah.
Very nice.
They'll make them however you want them.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
They've got a, you know, they're
really, really nice. Very nice.
What were you doing down that direction?
Well, I went down there to get those halters.
Drove all the way down. You live over out Tate's Creek Pike, yeah, and you drove all the way to Paris, Kentucky, to pick up two halters from Quill and Leather and Tack. Yes. That tells you about quality.
I did that.
Well, good for you. Man, that's a testimonial. I'm sure that Ralph Quillen's going to stick a check in the mail to you.
I'll wait.
I love to go in there, too.
Oh, it's a nice, shop. There's all kinds of things.
Nice people.
And a couple of good cats.
Yeah, well, those, isn't that the fattest cat that you've ever seen in there?
Cat.
These are worth a trip down there. Just look at that cat.
It always jumps up on the counter. I have to pet it.
All right. That cat, I remember when it was a kitten.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a neat cat.
Yeah, they've got a calico down there and a yellow one.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's a wonderful tack shop. I did a lot of Christmas shopping there, as a matter of fact.
It's a good place, I'm sure. It's
kids. Matt Howard's kids, and
they got all that sales catalogs and all that. That's neat things. They have those covers for those. That's all that stuff is really belts. They're really super.
I'm wearing a belt now. Got key tags.
Oh goodness! I'll give a halter made. I get a collar made for your dog.
Did that too. Cocker Spaniel. His name is Spaniel Boone.
Oh, that's a
they
nice.
They put it right on there.
How'd you ever think of that name?
Jackie did it.
Spaniel.
We call him Boonie for
that's
short.
That's like naming the horse Bill.
Okay. Well, anyway, let me tell you where Quill and Leather and Tack is. It's in Paris, as Don Combs and I were just discussing. And if you go into Paris, you go to the third stoplight and look on your left. You can't miss it. Nice people. And that's Ralph Quillen. Data Racing Form Sunday Edition is out. Michael just walked off with mine. It's on your newsstand, Zoe. Thank you, Don. Good talking to you.
See y'all.
It's now on your newsstands. You can always go to visit drf.com breeding and pick it up. John Sparkman's writing on the quality of racing in Japan now. And that would be interesting. Because, you know, that's a lot of top studs go over there these days. The Keeneland January sale previews by Joe Nevels, who does a real good job with the sales. Patrick Reed's hot sire of the week. He always picks that one, and that would be Wildcat Air, who just sired a top stakes winner. He is by, if I'm not mistaken, Forrest Wildcat, and I believe he stands at the Journeyman Stud down in Florida. They have the comprehensive stakes results that they do in every Sunday edition of the form, year-end sire list, and, of course, your usual PPs like Turfway and Fairgrounds and Gulfstream Park and Aqueduct and so forth. And it's a wonderful edition right on your newsstand now, so pick it up. Interesting, always something interesting. You can always learn something in there. Well, let's see, where are we now at the Data Racing Form? Jackie?
Yes, sir.
You want to do some, if you'll get over there, they're over there talking about violin lessons, I'm sure. Jackie's Jackie's taking violin lessons.
Yes. The next so slop along failure of my life. All right, what am I supposed to be doing here?
Are you including me in that?
No.
I wouldn't put it past you. Anyway.
Okay. Now, we have four open house things. I got Adena Springs and Ashford here. Spendthrift is today through the week.
I've got it.
Yeah, if you could look at that while I'm doing the other ones. And Crestwood. Crestwood is tomorrow.
Starting today, Spendthrift Farm, noon till 3. and all the way through the sale. So it'd be on for a week all the way through.
All week.
I think it's going to be all the way through Friday, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Now that's Spendthrift. Yeah.
Windstar's having one. Coolmore's having one. Ashford Stud's having one.
Okay.
I think you're starting. I've got it here.
I got Ashford. That's
I thought you had all that together. Oh, you let me down.
Nah, that's the way it goes. Fine. Crestwood is tomorrow. I know for sure. Sunday. It's kind of early.
Huh.
Crestwoods? Yeah.
You got a... Where's that card? It had my picture on that thing. You let it go.
Oh, no. It's on the refrigerator.
It's tomorrow, and I think it's from... I've got it here. Hang on just a second. And I think I've already done that, but I can give it to you.
Okay.
Go ahead and talk about the others.
Okay, Edina Springs open house is Sunday. That's tomorrow, January 5th, from 4 to 8. Dinner and beverages will be sold. They're singing, will be served. Not sold, served. They're singing my song. We're going to that one tomorrow. Crestwood is earlier tomorrow. It's Sunday.
I've got it here.
Yeah.
Noon to 5.
Noon to 5. Okay. Ashford Stud, that's Coolmore, Saturday today through Friday, January 10th, from 11 to 3, hot food served all day. Spendthrift is noon till 3 all week through Friday, and I'm going to find out when Windstar is.
Oh.
Although I'm sure you mentioned it.
I already have, but we'll mention it again.
Shoot, yeah.
Monday through Friday from 11 to 2. Lunch is being served. Monday through Friday from 11 to 2 at Windstar Farm.
All right. I got them all. That's wonderful. All right. Let me... today is... Is today the 4th of January? My goodness. Snowball Series Mounted Games at the Horse Park today and tomorrow. And they are also having a TNT truck and tractor pull. So I'm sure that's out in the arena.
Here comes my guest. Go ahead and do this.
Next Saturday, Professional Rough Stock Rodeo Series and a bridal show and Mounted Games Association. There are two kind of mounted games. One's Snowball Series and one's called U.S. Mounted Games. So that's pretty much, there just isn't much going on because it's winter.
Steve Stewart, I assume.
Yes, sir.
I mean, sit down. MSCDA
nice
annual meeting is January 18th and 19th here at Marriott Griffin Gate. Saturday, January 18th, Sunday, January 19th. They're going to have a great panel from 9:45 until 3:30. That's a long one. Called Off Track Thoroughbred Mythbusters Panel, which ought to be wonderful because... Off-track thoroughbreds get a bum rap. They say, oh, they're feet, and they're silly, and then no, they're not. They're wonderful. They're fine. Normally in the winter, yes, this is normally. Monday and Tuesday, the horse park is closed. So for the winter, because it is too cold. Nobody's going out there anyway, and you freeze your whatever off. Also, want to mention, Sally Van repairs your trailers, vans, and diesels, and they know more about it than anybody. 800-967-8267, or just check it out on the webpage, Sally Van. They're the best. And Lexington Computer Clinic at Hamburg and Myers, they'll help you over the phone. And if you go in there with a problem or you don't know what you're doing, $20, they'll stand there for a half hour and teach you how to do stuff, you know, on your webpage and stuff.
Unless you're an ignoramus like me.
Well,
they see me coming and they close the doors.
And Monet Mary, check out. Monet Mary is doing great things for reruns, selling Stormcat's last Monet and his progeny's Monets. If you don't know what a Monet is, they give the horse, the very famous horse, either a paintbrush or they dip his nose in watercolor, and the horse mushes it around on paper, and they pull some hairs.
Looks something like a Picasso.
Yeah, yeah. Only it's, or it looks like a Monet.
Yeah.
Only it's spelled M-O-N-E-I-G-H. And she sells them online to raise money for Rerun, which is, once again, off-track thoroughbreds retrained for new lives. Lisa Malloy is a genius at that. She retrained at least 50 last year, found them new homes. So she
She's the head of Rerun now.
Yeah, she's the head of Rerun.
Based in Virginia, isn't
she? She's in Virginia because her husband is a double super secret CIA guy, and he's got a year or so in this country.
And I got to tell you a funny one about that. A good friend of mine, Woody Coyle, I talked to Woody yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
We were out to old friends one day. And
your birthday, I think.
Yeah, it was my celebrating one of my birthdays. I've had so many, I forget which one it was. Anyway, Lisa was there.
90.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't 90. I'm making that up.
Just seems that way.
I'm just guessing. Go ahead.
Anyway, Lisa was there, and Lisa's very attractive.
Yeah, blonde.
Blonde, cute. Nice figure.
Yeah.
And Woody says, "Why? Who is that?" Woody's a bachelor, divorced twice anyway. I said, "That's a friend of ours named Lisa Malloy." He said, "Well, I'd like to meet her." "Well, let me tell you up front," says, "her husband is CIA and he just got back from Afghanistan." He says, "Well, I'll look for something else." All right. Well, let me do some commercials here. Now, I've got Steve Stewart, trotting horse man here. And I've warned him, and I don't know anything about trotting horses.
Wait a minute. First,
that's a good thing.
That you went to Catholic?
That's right. Good Catholic boy.
Yeah. Did you know Jenny Ellis?
No.
She was a couple of years behind you, I think. That's my daughter.
I graduated in 77.
Jenny would have been in about, 70?
How old is she?
50.
50.
I'm 55. Oh. Just turned 55, so she got there right after I did. There was probably some scars on the walls or something of.
She remembered you. Now you've got
right.
You
have a twin brother.
You have a.
But that's right. It. She knew you because she said if you have a twin, then she remembered
that's
you.
That's exactly right.
And you played basketball.
Oh yeah, yeah. In my mind, I guess. But yeah, we had a good team that year.
Yeah.
And a lot smaller school back then. It was only like 400 students. Now it's 700 or 800.
Oh, I know.
And my son played basketball there and graduated. Played, so he carried on the Stewart tradition, I guess you might say.
Is he? When did he get out then?
He graduated in 08 and then played basketball for the Air Force Academy.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. Wow. Division I player, so that's kind of hard to do in Kentucky. And then now he's in Columbus, Mississippi, learning to fly jets. Well, on Uncle Sam's nickel, so he's he's got it figured out. So he's doing really, really well.
Oh, you ought to be proud of it.
Yes, yeah. And I have a daughter that she graduated in 08, and she's all horses. She's 100% horses. She's one of the few that when they most kids grow up and say, "I want to be a fireman," "I want to be a horse girl," or whatever. Well, she's a horse girl. She's but she's 3-day eventing, so she's in. West Grove, I think, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So she's all about 3-day eventing and gives lessons and really, really doing well. More or less, she's 28, living her dream, living her dream.
Well, good for her.
You know, a lot of people say that, but she truly is. She's been fortunate that it's worked out really well. But she'd get up in the mornings, 5 o'clock in the morning, take care of her horse before she went to Lexington Catholic. And so my son was all about Lexington Catholic in the sense of playing basketball. And then my daughter really loved the school, went to school, didn't have anything to do with school, you know, complained when this time of the year, because by the time she got back to Paris, that's where our farm is, it was almost dark.
Yeah.
So it was hard.
Couldn't ride.
Yeah. That's right. It was much more difficult.
Put up some lights, you cheapskate.
There you go. Yeah, the problem was her horses didn't pay for the lights. Those jugheads paid for the lights.
Jugheads, there you go.
That's what I always have to remind her, where the money comes from.
All right, I've got to do a commercial or two here, and then we'll get back to Steve. Starting today and every day through the sales out of Keeneland from noon till 3, there'll be a stallion showing at Spendthrift Farm. Hot food going to be served, and we're looking forward to seeing you there. I think Jackie and I are going to try to get over there after the show, aren't we, Jackie?
Yes.
There are four new additions to the roster of stallions at Spendthrift Farm. That would be Awesome Patriot, Flat Out Jimmy Creed, and Liaison. Awesome Patriot won his first start at 2, placed in graded stakes, then won stakes at 3 at Hollywood Park. He has an awesome pedigree. He's a full brother to the last year's Preakness winner, Oxbow. He was standing his first in his season at stud for $20,000. He's by Awesome Again out of a full sister to Hall of Famer Tisnow. Now, that's a pedigree. Awesome Patriot enters stud for $3,500 live full. Jimmy Creed is a grade one stakes winner by champion sire Distorted Humor. Out of grade one winner Hooked on the Feeling, damn it, 2 grade one winners. A $900,000 sales yearling, Jimmy Creed stands for $12,500. Due when the foal stands and nurses. In fact, all of these fees are when the foal stands and nurses. Now, Liaison won grade one stakes at 2 and went on to win place in 9 stakes, 5 graded, earned over $767,000. He's a top. He's a son of the top star Indian Charlie out of a stakes winner from a hard-hitting stakes family. He stands for $10,000. Flat out, of course, multiple grade one winner of over $3,645,000. He's North America's all-time leading money winner from the AP Indy line, and he enters stud for $10,000, also payable when the foal stands and nurses. Now, so come on, see him. Talk to Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker over at Spendthrift. Always ask about breeding incentives and check the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. I want to talk a little bit first about Liberson. Liberson, which, Jackie, did you take your Liberson this morning?
Liberson. Yes, Liberson. I did. I take it every day. That's how I got here. Otherwise, I'm home in bed.
Right.
On the other hand,
anyway, she takes it. They do make it for humans. I tell you what, a lot of top class trainers use it. Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow, Jerry Holland offer, Mike Maker, just, you know, first class trainers use it. It's just sustains the integrity of the joint fluid and reduces the course of. Costs of injections, acid injections, and all those kind of things. It's a top product. It's test-free. You don't have to worry about it when you go into the spit box. The other product I want to talk about is Reborn. And Reborn is a whole concentrated bovine colostrum. And with the foaling season coming up on, and they're always running out of colostrum around here, so you can use this as a supplement. And, of course, it in with your newborn foals, and it improves the immune system immensely while nursing on a mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. Great product. Both of them are great products. And they're both invented by Dr. Steve Alday, who's, of course, a veterinarian. And you can pick them up. The Lubricin is at old friends at KBC and Horse Sense. Horse Sense down in Versailles. Reborn you can get at the KBC and at Horse Sense in Versailles. And check the website, lubricin.com, L-U-B-R-I-S-Y-N.com, or Reborn, R-E-B-O-R-N-E.com. Well, Broken Vow, sired 22-year-old winners last year, his most recent, Morning Calm, winner in his first start of a maiden special Gulfstream on December 27. Morning Calm put on quite a show. He was 12 of 13 after going 7.5 furlongs on the grass, and to quote the Thoroughbred Daily News, he catapulted past the field to win going away. Broken Vow through December 29 has sired 19 2013 stakes horses, 10 stakes winners, 2-1 stakes in December. Broken Sword, she's a 3-year-old filly, won the grade 2 $150,000 Bayakoa at Hollywood Park. She is was the fourth graded stakes winner of the year for her sire. And Cyber Secret, winner earlier the grade 2 Oakland Handicap and the grade 3 Razorback, won Turfway's Prairie Bayou Stakes. He's earned right at $600,000. Broken Vow is the leading son of Sire Sire's Unbridled at Stud. Yearling sold for up to $435,000 last year. He stands for $25,000. Payable when the foal stands and nurses at Pin Oak Stud. Home also of Alternation, Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic. Inquiries at Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. I've been joined by Steve Stewart here, who is in the trotting horse business, which I know little or next to nothing about. Maybe I'll learn something today. I do know the farm that he's on, though, and it's down at the old Stoner Creek, John D. Hurt's old place.
That's exactly right.
How long have you been down there, Steve?
We went down there in 96, December 1st of 96.
Hmm.
Basically, the story of the farm was it was developed by Hertz, and he was apparently must have been very tied in with Bull Hancock because and they share the creek. Across the creek is Claiborne. Yeah. So you go out North Middletown Road on the right is their farm. There's 700 acres there, and it backs up to the creek. That's how they got the name Stoner Creek, obviously. But you see a lot of the similarities when you go to Claiborne. You see a lot of the barns are the same. A lot of the one thing that I find unique at Stoner Creek and at Claiborne is they planted a lot of sycamore trees in the along the roads, and you don't really see that too much or whatever. They're beautiful trees, but they're as all the guys on the farm will tell you, they're not a clean tree. They're usually losing something. So there's a lot of similarities between the two farms.
Mm-hmm.
So
it started off, of course, Hertz was Thurber.
That's exactly right. Yeah, his claim to fame was obviously Count Fleet. He won the Triple Crown in 43, and he's buried there. They have a wonderful one. They probably have one of the nicer cemeteries for horses.
Is Ray Count buried there also?
Ray Count is buried there.
Okay.
I want to say either he is or his dam. I'm not sure. But they
stood there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I assume he probably is.
Yeah.
You know, being in the standard bred business, those tombstones you don't look at as much as you do the standard breds.
I'll take it.
But anyway, so Hertz, like I said, his claim to fame was Count Fleet. Hertz died, I believe, in 48, and then, or no, 58, excuse 58, me.
Yeah.
58, he died, and the estate sold to Norman Woolworth and David Johnston. They were partners, more or less became partners when they bought the farm. Norman had great success there, and he had a horse named Meadow Skipper that more or less almost changed the standard bred breed in the pacing side or whatever. He was a magnificent horse and had the great ability to not only make horses better than him, but then those stallions went on and became, he just perpetuated his success. Just
what was his name again?
Meadow Skipper.
Meadow Skipper.
Meadow Skipper. And
okay.
he was voted, like everybody did, 14 years ago now, you had the vote of the century. The all century football team or basketball, and he was voted the Meadow Skipper was voted the sire of the century. So that it wasn't the voting wouldn't have been close, I guess you might say. It was very obvious he was that dominant and just a very fertile horse, very handsome horse, very every attribute you could claim to him. So Hertz estate sold in 63 to Norman and David Johnston.
Now, was Charlie Kenny managing it?
Charlie Kenny was managing it before, and then stayed when Norman and Mr. Johnston had it. So he switched over to Standardbreds, and Count Fleet was retired there. And the story is that he was afraid of the dark. So they would have to leave the light on. Now, obviously,
Charlie Kenny or the horse?
The horse.
Okay.
I don't think Charlie Kenny
was afraid of anything.
Yeah, he wasn't afraid of anything. But my secretary, who is still at the farm now, was there when
is Mr. Kenny, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pat Miner and several of the other employees. The way my wife and I, Cindy and I, have Hunterton Farm, and that's we leased the farm. But the story, how we got there, was my brother, Tom, my oldest brother, who has since passed away. He died in 95 from leukemia, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But in 72, he was managing a farm in Pennsylvania, and always wanted to, as most Kentucky people want to, come back to Kentucky.
It was a
standard bred farm, yes, called Lanalo Bell.
Okay.
And stood many stallions up there. He graduated from Western Kentucky, Joe Taylor, our mentor, a family mentor or whatever, we'll talk about him in a minute. But anyway, my brother came back to Lexington, and Charlie Kenny was retiring, and that was in 72.
Yeah.
So then when I was in high school at Lexington Catholic, I would help my brother at the sales. and got to know Norman and them through that. And then I started our farm in 1980, I guess, many years ago when I was 20 years old. I leased the family farm is how I got started.
Now, your family was involved with Standard Bread?
Yes.
Your parents?
The story of the family goes that my father was in the construction business, and he owned Nash and Stewart contracting. They built all the public pools in Lexington. They did they were big into water treatment, more or less water, I guess you might say, because okay. He was in water treatment plants and sewer plants and things like that, but built all the public pools my twin brother and I are the last of six. And so we kind of grew out of our little house, because I drive past and like, my goodness, how did they all fit in there? Was on Woodbine Road right by Lafayette, and moved to Gainesway Subdivision off Tate Creek Road. And
an old trotting horse place.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But and very prophetically that that's a big word for a Standard Bread person, but grew up on Castleton Way South.
Okay.
And Castleton Way North was the Taylor family, Joe Taylor. And all of his sons.
Yeah.
So, and in the back of the farm was developed, but if you drive down Armstrong Mill, there was an old circle barn. And as all my older brothers, I was only a year old, but my older brother, Tom, who was at Stoner Creek, was 15. So our family and Taylor family are very similar. They had eight children. We had six, Catholic family and whatever, and grew up, more or less kind of grew up together. And Joe started there painting fences. He told the story that he started there after World War II. He started painting fences, and it was a trotting horse, as you say, C.F. Gaines, John Gaines's father, mm-hmm. had Standard Breads.
Yeah.
And then when John came along, he switched over to Thoroughbreds. Mm-hmm. And Joe Taylor went with John, and a lot of the success of Gainesway Farm is obviously attributed to Joe Taylor, without a doubt.
Great horse.
And kind of like Meadow Skipper, he sired a lot of superstars with Duncan and all that, and Mark. And I grew up with Chris or whatever, who was tragically shot and killed or whatever in his 20s. But
farm right over on Ferguson.
That's exactly right. Yeah, very, very tragic situation or unfortunate thing, to say the least. But Chris and I grew up together, knew Ben and know Ben and Frank and Mark and Duncan and all of them. But so Joe, back then, Gainesway was way out in the country, and everybody kind of just went together, so to speak, and they hung out as my mother tells those funny stories about having parties up at Gainesway Country Club all the time back in the day or whatever. But anyway, they I've been told, he suggested, you know, to my parents or whatever, that we would be happier. Our family would have been happier in the Standard Bread business, and I think Joe was right. It's a wonderful business.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how we kind of got started in the Standard Bread business, is more or less through Joe Taylor.
Okay.
And it just kind of went from there, I guess you would say. And all of us, my next oldest brother from me, 4 years older, is Bob Stewart. He trains horses. He won the Kentucky Futurity this year as a trainer. So he's very extremely accomplished.
Freelance also. Trainer?
Yes. He trained a horse named Creatine for a farm here in Bourbon County, Diamond Creek. Diamond Creek is
out of Bowden.
They are they have three locations, and then they just bought a farm in Pennsylvania to start a stallion station there. But they are across from Edina Springs on. Yeah, they're right across. That's one of their locations. And then the other location, they're bigger, where they keep most of their yearlings, is right at the next to the on 460 next to the airport.
Georgetown International Airport.
That's exactly right. So that's where Adam Bowden has their farms or whatever.
Let me catch up here.
Sure.
Okay. Well, Fort Larned retired with earnings of over $4,471,000. Now, you don't accumulate earnings like that by dodging the big ones. He won the 2012 running of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, beating Mucho Macho Man, winner of the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic, and a son of Fort Lawrence stablemate at Adena Springs, Macho Uno. He won the Grade 1 Stephen Foster at Churchill, the Grade 1 Whitney Invitational. That's three of the nation's most prestigious Grade 1 stakes, plus four other stakes. Along the way, he defeated the likes of the aforementioned Mucho Macho Man, Game On Dude, Flat Out, Ron DeGree, To Honor and Serve, and a host of others. Fort Larned is out of a half-sister to buy Akea, two-times winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff. It's a Breeders' Cup pedigree, and he understood for $15,000 payable when the full stands of nurses at Adena Springs. Home also of Grade 1 winners and millionaires, Alphabet Soup, Awesome Again, Einstown, Go Zepper, Macho Uno, Point of Entry, Tiago, and Touch Gold. To breed a real racehorse, call the farm, 859-987-1798. See the website at adenastallions.com, and be sure to come to the open house tomorrow. It's from 4 to 8. Dinner and beverages will be served. Open house tomorrow at Adena Springs from 4 until 8.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Kentucky's number one certified pre-owned dealer.
Well, proud citizens aside, the two winners of the Classic Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, and look around, find another stallion that is aside two Kentucky Oaks winners, standing for $15,000 live foal. Now, his progeny has also won such graded stakes as the Alabama, the Delaware Oaks, the Matron, the Fairgrounds Oaks, the Peter Pan, the Valley View, the Tempted, the Razorback, the Early Times Mint Julep Stakes, the Mineshaft, and the list just keeps growing. He sired the winners of over $4 million last year, five stakes winners, three others placing stakes. He sired a total of some 70 stakes horses, 30 stakes winners, four champions. Proud Citizen won the Grade 2 Coolmore Lexington Stakes, ran second in the Kentucky Derby, third in the Preakness, and he's the son of Sire Sire's Gone West from the female family of the great Natama. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty, I'm talking to Steve Stewart. And
Well, before we go any farther, I have to tell a funny story that about you, and I've never met you, so I've heard your voice for probably since I was...
I don't want to hear this.
Knee high to a grasshopper. So you must have started this business at a very young age. But anyway,
yeah, I was two.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, back in the days, they don't do it as much now, families or whatever. We ate at 6:15 every night, mm-hmm. and my father would come home. And my father, my wife said, be careful about this, but my father used to bet the ponies. And at 6:15, you had a radio thing that I don't know whether it was VLK or whichever radio station.
Several stations had moved around.
Right, but from either 6:15 to 6:30 or 6 o'clock to 6:15, yeah. Right in there, Ursel Ellis would be on the radio. So I grew up having dinner listening to Ursel Ellis because my father would obviously have a horse bed at Aqueduct or at Gulfstream Park in the fifth race, and he would wait to hear. And as soon as you would start, because it wasn't like this where you had people talking, you basically just read the results.
Yeah.
You know, you just said the fifth at Aqueduct or whatever was won by, and obviously you had to give the prices or whatever. So, but anyway, I just wanted to tell that funny story. So, I told my mother I would tell that story, and she reminded me.
Must have been tough on your digestion tonight, Avery.
Well, no, not me, but probably my lecture from my father afterwards depended on how he did at the races that day.
Oh, okay.
Probably, but so I've listened to your voice all these years.
Well, I've been doing it. I did that show for 50 years.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, started in.
And you're only 55 now, so you.
It's amazing.
You and I went to school together.
I was precocious.
A prodigy. A real
it's unbelievable.
Prodigy.
Yeah. You must have known somebody at such a young age.
Yeah, right. anyway, I haven't done it now since. It's been 5 years. I stopped
Has
doing
it?
That show. Yeah. It kind of, you know, the computers.
But
took
without
over.
The computers, that's exactly
yeah,
right.
Right.
Yeah,
it took
exactly
over.
Right.
So.
It's everything's instant. You can watch it on your iPhone mm-hmm. now. You can watch them now. You don't have to listen yeah. to. So they don't need somebody telling them what happened.
Yeah.
They can see it for
now,
themselves.
This show is relatively new.
Is
you
it?
Know, I've been
yeah,
doing
right.
about 15 years now.
Yeah. Right. That's still in its infancy.
Yeah.
I was. Me
you're
too.
Still, you're still I was trying to get it right.
I was 35 yeah. when I started this one.
Yeah,
35. That's, yeah, that's right. Nah, maybe 40.
Yeah,
maybe 40. But anyway, yeah. It you guys want to? It's good if you just ask questions. But basically, that's how we kind of got started was in the family, and it just kind of went to there. And I would say that the standard breds lend itself to a family. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you call it atmosphere, but a family. And that's kind of what Joe used to always talk about, was he grew up with standard breds. His father had standard breds, uh-huh. and his brothers trained horses and whatever. And that was kind of his first love. And obviously, if he was still alive, he would tell you that was his first love. He loved. And I would say that most people that are introduced to it, it's a wonderful breed of horse. It really is. There's a lot of, I wouldn't say misinformation, but a lot of things that people don't know about them or whatever. They're not attractive horses. They weren't bred for beauty at all.
I got a question.
And that lends itself to, they bred them for the right reasons, and we'll get into that, I guess, if we have time.
But. Yeah. Why do y'all turn them out without halters?
Well, we don't at Hunterton Farm. I know that, and it bothered me very much when I was growing up, or not growing up, but being in the business or whatever, to drive down Iron Works Pike and see Castleton Farm with no halters on their yearlings and things that. And the reason why they did it, one is, I think, is out of laziness. Number two, to be honest, and number two, that the breed of horse allows that.
Yeah,
and by that I mean that standard breds aren't like thoroughbreds in the sense that
temperament.
They have to be handled every single day, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
They don't have to be brought in. You know, I mean, if you, for instance, we have a little more than 100 yearlings on the farm.
Oh, you do now?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and all leather halters, all, you know, I mean, I mean, more or less, I grew up with the idea that the thoroughbreds obviously have a lot that they do right. Most things they probably do right. You know, we can, you know, everybody can argue about different things or whatever, but it always bothered me that the standard breds farms, you know, I always felt it was I don't know whether you would call it a responsibility, but something to that. They use a lot more nylon halters than they probably should, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I never noticed that.
Yeah, ours. I'm not saying we do it right. Everybody does it wrong, but you know, if you come to our farm, our horses have leather halters with their nameplate on them, and trying to, you know, do that that way or whatever. But basically, they didn't have to. Break their babies. They didn't have to break their yearlings or whatever, in the sense that, you know, they would lead the mare and the foal would just follow along. And then when it came time to wean them or whatever, they were weaned and they were probably raised in sheds and they would bring them in. They'd probably run them into the shed. They would warm them. They would probably trim them as best they could. And in my opinion, that's not the way you should do that. And it's probably some reason why we're fairly successful is the fact that we, you know, you trim them every week, or not every week, every month or whatever. Right. We trim the foals every 2 weeks or whatever when they're born, and do a lot of correcting and try to, more or less, try to do it right. But the good thing about the standard breds, and we don't need nearly as many employees, is the fact that they are, you can literally walk out there. We use more or less a bucket to catch the horses or the weanlings or whatever. They're yearlings now as of, 4 days ago or whatever. So they're in groups of, we try not to get any more than 12, let's say, or whatever. But Stoner Creek lends itself to these 30-acre fields and stuff. It's a wonderful farm. And they raise some super horses. It's unbelievable, the number of horses that have been raised there.
Do you have the biggest farm around here now?
We probably do now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that it was funny. My wife was Cindy and I were at a meeting or whatever, and, you know, you grow up or whatever, and we started off, we leased the 80-acre farm on DeLong Road, and W.T. Young ended up buying it from my parents or whatever back before he passed away, and more or less at the corner of Armstrong Mill and DeLong, and a beautiful location where my mom still lives there. And
Armstrong Mill and DeLong.
Armstrong and DeLong, whatever.
Wingenick, did they used to raise trucks?
No, I don't
believe it. It was on Old Richmond Road.
Yeah, that's on.
I know
out there.
Poplar Hill.
Poplar Hill did.
Yeah.
And, exactly, on Russell Cave. That's
They had saddlebreds, too.
Yeah.
Pardon?
There's been a lot of – there's a whole lot of –
That's where Nancy Hanks was foaled.
That's right.
It went at Poplar Hill.
That's right. Walking. And I'm reading a book now. It's called The American Trotter, which is a fantastic book. I got it from a friend of mine, Steve Katz, who works for Walnut Hall. And he said, you ought to read this. And I've been reading it. It's fascinating. Nancy Hanks was sold as a racehorse to Malcolm Forbes from the Forbes family, you know, right, way back when or whatever. And so there's been a lot of...
Well, how did she end up with Madden, with John Madden?
He must have, because, well, I'm sure that and that's what the book touched on or whatever, is that and that's kind of what's happening now with the Standardbreds, is that you know, people die. And Mr. Forbes passed away or whatever, and the heirs don't want to keep doing it. They don't have the same love. So Madden must have bought Nancy Hanks, yeah, and obviously was a great, great trotting mare.
Oh, yeah.
Great trotting mare. And that's kind of interesting. And they don't really know why, but the trotting mares, a lot of trotting mares can trot as fast as the stallions, as colts. But pacers don't, and they don't really know why. That a pacing mare cannot usually be, the best pacing mare can't beat the best pacing colt. But a lot of times there's been five or six, just like in the Thoroughbreds, where you've had not that often, but you know, there's been enough of them that you can, you know, talk about the great trotting mares that were able to win the Hamiltonian. Yeah. That Hamiltonian was where all of our horses derived from, kind of like, I guess, Messenger or whatever your,
I have a question.
What's that?
What about Hanover? Hanover was a thoroughbred stallion. What about the turn of the century? Is that your Hanover? I know there's Hanovers all over Standardbreds.
That I don't know. Hanover Shoe Farm is probably the largest. I would say it's probably the largest horse farm probably in the world. They probably have 3,000 acres in Hanover, Hanover, Pennsylvania. I mean, everything's Hanover. Hanover, Pennsylvania, which is probably 10 miles from Gettysburg, if that tells anybody where they are. And they are by far the largest. I think that it was owned by a man named Shepherd. They got their money from Hanover Shoes. So, and I don't see them too much anymore, but I remember growing up, you would see Hanover Boots or whatever would be in like malls or something. It'd be a small shoe store that you would see or whatever, but Hanover, but that's how that's how he got his money. But a lot of his stuff can be traced back to when Calumet sold out. Calumet was a Standardbred farm, right, Warren Wright, which is kind of interesting. His relatives were Orville and Wilbur. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're related some way or whatever. Yeah. But he died in 1932, left an estate of 30, 40 million, something ungodly when you think it was a year after the Depression. But anyway, Jones, just like Charlie Kenny, he switched over. He trained Standardbreds and then switched over when Wright's heirs took over the farm and switched it over to Thoroughbreds. So Jones trained Standardbreds and then switched over and trained. And Ben.
He didn't come aboard. And you're talking about Ben Jones.
Well, I think his father, I believe. Had,
well, they were from Missouri.
Something like that. But I believe that
Ben Jones trained Lauren, who won the 38 Derby. And then he came aboard, and the first Derby winner he trained for Calumet was Whirlaway.
Is that right?
1941.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing, though. But that's how, you know, and then obviously you touched on Hamburg was Preston Madden. They had Standardbreds and Thoroughbreds. And it really goes all the way back. Standardbreds pretty much go all the way back to, you know, basically, when we all started with horses in Central Kentucky, there were Standardbreds and Thoroughbreds because
it was real big at one time.
Well, Alexander had just, they say, just as many trotters as he did.
Greyhound was foaled down at Elmhurst.
Yeah, exactly.
For Henry Knight.
That's right.
Down there.
So Walnut Hall's been there forever.
At one time he had Greyhound and... he folded had Exterminator.
Is that right?
You know, what about
so there was a lot of cross pollination back then. There's not nearly as much as they are now.
No.
Really, the only place you see it a little more is in France. France is very big with trotters.
Really?
Yes, we were there for their big. You have the Arc de Triomphe for trot for thoroughbreds, and then ours is the Prix de Mérique. And the Prix de Mérique is coming up the end of this month. It's the last Sunday either last Saturday or last Sunday of January in the big racetrack in Paris called Vincennes. It's a beautiful, beautiful track.
Got to get back to this. I'm running way behind on these, by the way.
Well, catch up because this is interesting.
Yeah, Williams from the first crop of trap shot averaged over 7 times its stud fee last year, and all but 2 of the 22 offered at auction found new homes. Good-looking horse, sign eye-catching individuals. In fact, if you haven't seen him lately, and I have, I suggest that you do so because he is impressive. He was impressive at the races, too. He's the son of the very popular and successful Tappet. Trap Shot won 6 races by a combined 38.5 lengths. Posted a 111 Bayer in a Grade 2 True North, 6 furlongs and 8-4. Ran 1-0 flat to take the Waldoboro Stakes. Won around 2 turns in Mama's Long Branch Stakes. Was second by Nose in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt for a 112 Bayer. Second in the Grade 1 Haskell to Looking at Lucky, besting First Dude and Super Saver that day. A half-brother to Grade 1 winner and millionaire Miss Shot from a great female family, Trap Shot, stands for $10,000. Payable when the foal stands and nurses. Get in touch with Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm and see the website at claibornefarm.com. My good friend Ray Hill and his lovely bride Reagan Parker have a real estate business. They've got a great website, lexhorsefarms.com. They're real horse people, and they're helping real horse people. I know Hill is a top-flight horseman himself, and they've got great listings on their website. It's a wonderful website. They've got listings in Bourbon County, one very close to us, by the way, in Fayette and Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark. Outstanding variety of locations, sizes, and prices, and they can help you find the perfect farm just for you, just what you're looking for. They'll help you find it. I would suggest that you take a look at a farm over on Hawkins Cummins Road in Paris. It's listed for $725,000. It's 75 acres. It's 75 acres, I should have said. Nice residence on there, nice barns, and a great location. And it's about the crow flies from us. It couldn't be a mile and a half, 2 miles away. There's another wonderful farm right up the road here on the Paris Pike that they've got listed. You won't find a better location than that. Just go to 5222 Paris Pike. Huh. And it's wonderful, great. I've been on that place many times. It's 462 acres. You walk in and there you are. So I suggest that if you go to the website, lexhorsefarms.com, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong doing people with nice people, and they are people that you can rely on. Midas Touch and Santiva, standing at War Horse Place, are both sons of champions. Midas Touch is by the world's leading sire, Galileo. Santiva is by Giants Causeway, 3 times North America's leading sire and a top 10 sire for 9 straight years. Midas Touch, champion 3-year-old colt, was here in Ireland and classic place in England, is out of a stakes-winning daughter of Dashaun. He is a sire of 97 stakes winners and is a leading broodmare sire. As a matter of fact, Magician, winner of this year's running of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Fillies and Mares Turf, is out of a Dashaun mare. From a female family which abounds with classic performance, Midas Touch stands for $10,000 payable in a foal stands and nurse. Santiva won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill, went second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity, second in the Breeders' Cup Classic to Mucho Macho Man. In the Grade 2 Risen Star, in addition to being a son of the champion sire, Santiva is out of a daughter of champion sprinter Safely Kept, winner more than $2,194,000. Santiva, $7,500 payable when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Jerry Assinger at 859-509-0053 or Dana Assinger, 509-3157. See the website at warhorseplace.com. Righty, I'm getting
you're getting an earful,
free education here from Steve Stewart.
Free? Hold it,
free education.
I want to. Can I say one thing? You all talked about not using plastic halters. Just to explain to people that plastic halters are cheap and they're easy to clean and they get caught in things and break horses' necks.
That's exactly right.
So it's a terrible thing. You need leather halters on horses, period. I've seen them sell plastic foal halters. Now, that's just asking for trouble. But anyway, that's why you all said that. I just want to explain it in case somebody didn't know.
Oh, well, we call them nylon. I don't know about plastic.
Well,
nylon,
same plastic, thing.
Kind
whatever.
Of the same thing. But yeah, I mean, you're exactly
if they're
right.
Nylon,
they are not forgiving.
No,
they are not forgiving, and they don't look quite as nice. I don't think. But.
Right
now.
Okay.
Are you a market breeder down with all these horses, or?
Yeah, we do everything but stand a stallion. So the standardbred business lends itself to the fact that we have artificial insemination. So when we came along back in the 80s, the semen could not leave the farm. That was the rule. That so you would call up Gary Paxton back in the day, if you remember him. And
I remember Gary very well.
Gary and Sally and whatever. And if you had too many mares to breed Abercrombie or whoever, you would load them. You'd call them up if you didn't have enough trailer space or whatever. More or less what they do now with thoroughbreds, and the fact that obviously you have to take them to the stallion naturally. But you would load them up, and at 1 o'clock you had to be there. But you know, it wasn't like you. You know, they would back then they would breed every day but Sunday. Now they only breed Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, which is to us as the user, as the end user, we wish they would breed every day. But but because of that, they so now what happened is after they allowed, then they changed the rule and kind of allowed it to leave the farm. And once it left the farm, now we get our semen. Either I go to the airport in the evening and pick it
frozen.
Up, or no, not frozen, fresh, no. Fresh, cool. It so it was collected that day. So what we do is we will go to the airport, or the other way to get it is FedEx or UPS the next morning.
Mm.
We go ahead and kind of spend the extra money. So there's people that most of them they're shipping eyeballs and whatnot or whatever, you know, in these thing where it's I'm trying to remember the name of the company or whatever, but you call them up or whatever and have an account, and they will go to, and a lot of times it may be auto parts or whatever or something that is needed that day.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll go to Hanover Shoe Farm and pick up the semen, pick up they're in styrofoam boxes is what it is now, and there'll be a syringe in there or two. It depends on the stallion, how much volume he gives or how much he had to collect that day. And you'll go to the airport, which is always funny because you'll see people at the airport and it's usually baggage claim if it's Delta. And they say, what are you doing here? Or, who are you picking up? Or where are you going? I'm here to pick up semen. And they kind of laugh.
Yeah.
Only in Lexington, Kentucky would you say that and get away with it, I guess. But that's how it's working now. So most of our mares do not have to leave the farm, which is very nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the downside is that they pretty much stretch the rubber band. The stallion farms will, we're still breeding the same number of mares as we did when you took the mare over and almost pretty close to live cover when, you know, the semen was still warm. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
They use semen extender, so they'll collect it in an AV, put it, you know, and then they have semen counters and everything like that, so they can handle it that way or whatever. But then they have, to increase the volume, they use semen extenders. And then there's different semen extenders for different stallions. So that's how it's done. So yes, as you realize, I can be long-winded in trying to answer your question, a yes or a no. But yes, we are a market breeder.
What was the question?
Yeah, you're starting to get like my wife. But
I have a question. Okay, you get to AI.
Yes.
They just about ruined Tennessee Walkers years ago with Midnight Sun. They AI'd so much that everything for three generations was by Midnight Sun.
What they do now is the thoroughbreds, there's probably a tremendous number of thoroughbreds that will breed more than the standardbreds.
Is that right? Okay,
yes.
That was my
question. We don't even get close to 200 mares anymore.
Okay.
How many foals a year at the standardbreds in this country?
It continues to drop, but it's probably 8,000 now.
8,000.
Okay. And I think back in the 80s, I think it was 15, maybe something like that. So it's about 8,000.
Yeah.
So we'll just touch real quick on the AI. So So what they did was they went in and, you know, we have all the problems with restraint of trade and things like that. And then you got people want to sue you because I've got my stallion and you can't tell me how many mares I can breed. But they were able to pass about 4 years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, they passed a rule that said you can only breed, you only can breed. It's not how many foals. You only can breed 140 mares to the stallions. That's a U.S. rule. So in Canada, which we, you know, there's a lot of, probably a third. It's a little bit less now because they've kind of come in and kind of messed us up, all of us, I guess, thoroughbred and standardbreds, trying to take the slot machines away from us or whatever in, at Woodbine and whatnot. But in Canada, they don't have that rule. So you can stand a horse in Canada and breed as many as you want. We do the same thing as thoroughbreds. Basically, we do the exact same thing. There's pretty much no difference between what we do in our business and what you do in the thoroughbred business, in the sense that the breeding seasons start and end the same time. We don't worry nearly as much about having our foals born the first week in January.
Anyway.
We do not worry nearly as much about that because, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we don't, you know, the thoroughbreds, I think, were very much really concerned about that when you had your July sales. But now you basically, the Keeneland sale is a week before ours. There's two main sales in the standardbred business. It's at Fezzik Tipton here in Lexington. We'll sell, there's roughly 700 horses sold here. And there is a sale in that Hanover Shoe Farm owns at Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And that is the same week as the Keeneland sale here in November.
Okay.
It's the first week in November.
I was going to ask you where those sales were.
Those are the two main sales. And then you have your regional sales for the Indiana breds and the
Do you breed mostly for the market?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Do you raise any?
That's our one Achilles heel. We never, but we're blessed in so many things that my wife and I laugh about the fact that we don't do very well, and we can tell you funny stories and not funny, but how we won't win this race and haven't done well that way or whatever. But it's we probably, like right now, I probably have parts of five that are in training.
Yeah.
And but the standardbred business, the interesting thing, I think, and you always had to be careful of, well, ours does this and yours does that or whatever, but obviously you're a thoroughbred show, but the contrast is that there's not nearly you breed for the racetrack. You don't breed for the yearling sales.
Okay.
In our business, because the driving force of our business is not the sales. It is 80%, 70%, whatever high percentage you want to say, at the racetrack. That is where the money is made.
I have a question. Okay. When you got something going to sale in November, are they broke to drive? No.
We had a client still. Yes, exactly the same. The only difference is our horses are docile enough that what you can do is you can go out there, and we have videos of all the horses. And they are in a paddock. Stoner Creek has a wonderful paddock right next to the stallion barn, very flat, very long. And what you do is we hire a gentleman named Jeff Dombrowski that comes down from New Jersey. We pay him $250. He will come and video, and he'll have all the raw footage.
Oh.
And most of the time, even a pacer, there's pacers and trotters, they will trot. Obviously, trotting is a natural gait for a thoroughbred and a standardbred, walk, trot, run. Mm-hmm. And you don't want them to run, but you don't. And so you will have the horses, and he'll take the raw footage, and then he will, and you can put it to music, you can do whatever you want, you can have a voiceover, whatever you want to use. And that is a wonderful, wonderful marketing tool.
Yeah.
Because all of the horses are videoed, so nice. The people will come. It's better if you ask questions.
Now I want one question. Well, how do you know, are they going to pace, or would they rather trot?
They're bred to. Now you can go back, and some, if you go back, there's Hal Dale and a lot of the stallions back in the 50s or whatever did both. Worthy Boy that stood at Castleton did both. He sired trotters and pacers. But now it's pretty much you breed a pacer to a pacer and a trotter to a trotter.
And in this book, they
even said the same thing. So you're breaking them. Like my brother is out on pacer, Spears Mill Road or whatever in Paris, training horses as we speak or whatever. And the breaking process is you go out there in the first couple of days, the horses are, you literally can almost take them from the farm and take them, and in probably one day or 2 days, they're out jogging behind that cart. That's how docile they are, whatever.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
I got to catch up here.
Oh, John, yeah. Keep talking, Ursula.
The list of mares bred to first defense, 117 last year, that produced foals by him in 2013, reads like a who's who of racing. He's receiving strong support not only from Judmont Farm, where he stands, but from outside breeders. That's what happens when you sire a classic winner and a millionaire in your first crop. And that's just what First Defense did. Of course, it doesn't hurt that he won Grade 1 stakes himself, that he has a great pedigree. He's by Unbridled Song, now deceased. Unbridled Song, side 104 stakes winners. And he's out of the Grade 1 winner, Honest Lady, by Seattle Slough. Now, Honest Lady is one of four Grade 1 stakes winners. And she was a Grade 1 stakes winner herself, and she was a Broodmare of the Year, and that would be Toussaint. Now, the list that includes that four Grade 1 stakes winners list includes two superior sires, Empire Maker and Chester House. First Defense's 2014 stud fee is 15,000 live foal. Also at Judmont is Mizzen Mass, sire of 2013 of a Breeders' Cup champion, a classic winner in France, and in 2012 of two Breeders' Cup champions. Mizzen Mass, 20,000 live foal. Stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, horses raised on products from McCauley Brothers won two stakes at Aqueduct last week. Laguna Girl, bred and raised by John D. Gunther at Glenwood Farm, won the $100,000 Are We Dreaming Stakes on December 27th. The next day, Farhan, bred and owned by Shadwell Farm, won the $100,000 Lord of the Night Stakes. Then to start the year right, on January 1, Teen Pauline, bred and owned by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings, won the Affectionately at Aqueduct, and Tapacat, bred by the partnership of Winslow Thoroughbreds and Gainsway Farm, won Gulfstream's Voodoo Dancer Stakes. Stone Street, Winslow Thoroughbreds, and Gainsway are all valued clients of McCauley Brothers. Congratulations from the folks at McCauley Brothers. Week after week, horses raised at McCauley's and on their products give testimony to the quality of those products by winning stakes all across the nation and abroad as well. Give Mike Warren and David Longmire a call. Talk to them about those products and the free services provided with every bag of feed you purchase. Telephone number is 859-873-3333. You're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadwind for sales. Check the website at MacaulayBros.com to breed the best, feed the best at McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, the nation's leading freshman sire 2013, Dunkirk, stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. So does the nation's leading second crop sire, Majestic Warrior, and the leading third crop sire 2013 stakes winners, Scat Daddy, and the leading nation's leading sire of 2013 graded stakes winners, Giant's Causeway, and Kentucky's leading sire of two-year-olds, Taylor the Cat. Giant's Causeway is ranked among the top 10 on the general sire list for 9 straight years. He's led the list 3 times. In 2013 through December 29, he had sired 20 stakes winners and the earners of over $10,741,000. 13 of his 20 stakes winners won graded stakes and 3 won grade 1 stakes. He has sired 29 group of grade 1 stakes winners around the world, and the demand for his progeny is strong. In 2013, his sales yearling averaged $185,373. Champion sires Giant's Causeway, Dunkirk, Majestic Warrior, Scat Daddy, and Taylor the Cat stand at Ashford Stud. Call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com. Running out of steam here.
Well, it's good that I can pause you for a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I hate to get this far behind, but I right. am.
Well, that, if I had my glasses, I'd help you read a couple of them.
Well, I screw them up with regularity, but thank God my sponsors put up with me.
That's right. Well, that adds to the color.
I've got another question.
Go ahead.
What about life after racing? Thoroughbreds are really, really getting into rerun, old friends, that kind of stuff. Do they make decent riding horses?
Standardbreds make wonderful riding horses. They, because of their being so docile, the one thing that they excel at are police horses. Because they are able to nothing bothers them. What's interesting is that like I was telling you, you have a situation. I'll touch on it and go back to the retirement. But what's interesting about the standardbreds is that we will, and we pretty much have them the same guys year after year, is our sales more or less stop or dovetail right in from the Keeneland sale. The Keeneland sale gets over with on the 25th of September, 23rd or whatever. Our sales start the 28th or whatever at Fezzik Tipton. So the sale help will go immediately from Keeneland and start working for the standardbred sales.
You didn't know
and,
that.
Oh yeah. And so they will, so you hear the contrast comments or whatever, and they'll, it's just, it's an amazing thing that they'll say, oh my gosh, you know, what, the way these horses will just literally just stand there. There's not a lot of, the biggest problem we have is getting them alive, getting them, you know, really showing off themselves, because they, after a while, they, you know, just like a thoroughbred, you're on the good ones are on the end of the leash or on the end of your shank. And, you know, they just start going deadheaded on you, because that's kind of their personality in a way, that they, you almost have to wake them up more or whatever. But so they make wonderful police horses. They make wonderful riding horses.
Jackie, I think of one horse that you had.
Yeah, he was on a horse.
It was a hunt. They used a fox hunt.
Uh-huh.
I think, I believe,
yeah,
he was,
I would think that they would make really good fox hunters.
Yeah,
I mean, they're very a sound breed. You know, I'll touch on it real quick to go back. The other thing that they are very good at is obviously pulling sulkies, vis-a-vis they are very good at pulling buggies, which lends itself to the Amish. So you have a tremendous number of the Amish will pick up a lot of the horses or whatever and use them for buggy horses or whatever.
Right.
So a lot of times I'll have mares that at Stoner Creek, there's a 90-acre farm in the back that Mr. Woolworth eloquently called Menopause Manor, and he retired his horse. That's where he had his horses. And so we probably have 20 old girls back there that we take care of and let them live off their life or whatever.
Let me give you a what's your daughter ride? She's doing 3 days.
A lot of Hanoverian, a lot of
the heavy stuff.
Yes. Well, because with the 3-day event horses, you can do thoroughbreds. The problem is that the thoroughbreds have a hard time with the cross country. They can't hold up to be able to go the 3 or 4 miles over 15 or 20, 30 jumps as fast as they have to do. A lot of them are thoroughbred crosses. So she's had thoroughbreds. That's a funny story that we can't get into now. But there are standardbred retirement things that we all kind of donate to.
Good.
Mrs. The lady at I think Meg Jewett from LV Harkness is a very big component at Walnut Hall, and does a very good job, and really is a proponent to making sure that we just don't discard them or whatever. So there's a very important. The good part is that we don't have 30,000 of them. We have, and a lot of ours are exported to overseas to race, especially the trotters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but, I just wondered. I know that I've seen 2 or 3, 4 maybe that hunt.
Yes.
Trotters, I guess, because they can't ride pacing.
Well, yeah, they could have been pacers also, either one or whatever.
Yeah, but they come back
trotters
to
trot. Are usually big. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they definitely were.
That one I had, we were sure. He had big head, and he trotted, he some of them that were cantering, it's a monster trot. I mean, he'd fly.
Oh, that's what they're bred for or whatever.
Yeah.
But what I always tell people is the interesting thing about standardbreds are basically a man-made. The term standardbred comes from the fact that in the 1800s, somebody came up with the idea, let's make a breed of these horses, because they were being pulled buggies and which horse is faster than mine. You know, it's the same thing with cars now. And so what they said was any horse that could trot or pace, pulling either a wagon or a cart or whatever, 2 minutes and 30 seconds to a mile, was considered, you're now a standardbred. And your father is a standard, you know, your sire is a standardbred, and you know, all the, you know, and more or less that's how the breed got started.
Yeah.
So
fun.
It's, and as I tell people, which I think is somewhat accurate, is the fact that it's one of the few breeds of animals that man has had an influence on and bred them and has made what I consider a superior breed of horse from the standpoint of soundness and the docileness that we've touched on in the fact that if Ursula and I were, or you and I were heading from Paris to Lexington or whatever, before the car, we had our buggy, and that was usually a light harness horse that mm-hmm. would go trot, right. and then, you know, they would trot for long distance
yeah.
period of time, go to Cincinnati, go to wherever you would go for that day. And what if you had this harness horse or whatever, and he took off with grandma going to church, you got rid of him.
Yeah.
Right, because he was crazy yeah. or whatever. So that helped with the docileness. If the horse got lame, you can't change the tire on a horse, you're going to Lexington or whatever, you got a big problem. You know, so you got rid of that horse.
Yeah,
so
never thought
our,
of that.
Our roots of the standard bred industry to this day benefit from those people that had those horses yeah. way back then, because they weren't bred for just speed. They weren't yeah. bred for, so you have a rather homely looking horse. Some of them are pretty, but they weren't bred for beauty, but there's very little white on them. There's very little chestnuts. There's very few gray. There are very yeah. few, and there's not a lot of white on them.
Yeah.
So I like that bad. Part.
I've got to bail out. I appreciate you coming in.
Come back.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's been Steve Stewart at Trotting Horse, but I've got to catch up, and I've got a couple of things I've got to do here, my friend. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. Nice meeting you.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate Dr. Byers recommending yes. you, too. Great guy.
The good doctor.
I love him.
Yeah, he's
great
the best.
Great.
He is the best.
Great vet.
Yes, he is.
Nice person. All right, Steve. It's been Steve Stewart, and I'm going to try to catch up here real quick. December 27 at Aqueduct, Expression, a filly from the first crop by Invisor, won a $74,000 optional allowance. The next day, also at Aqueduct, Fulton, also from the first crop by Invisor, won a $48,000 starter allowance. Expression, bred in Kentucky by Stone Farm and Joseph Sutton, has earned $271,000, placed in two stakes in 2013, both at Belmont. Photon, bred in Kentucky by York LLC, has earned $229,000. Invisor in 2013 was also represented by Ossus, winner of the Grade 3 Modesty Handicap, and placed in three other stakes, the Grade 1 Beverly D, the Maria G. Krantz Memorial, and the Bayou Handicap, earned $331,000. St. Arthur, winner of the Ontario County Stakes, and placed in three other stakes, including a second in the Bertram F. Bongard at Belmont, and Chichanko, second in the Manatee Stakes at Tampa Bay. Hall of Famer Invisor, winner of nine Grade 1 stakes and of $7,804,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Sally Van.
Also at Santa Anita, was Unbridled's Note, bred by Gulf Coast Farms and the Unbridled's Song Syndicate. The Grade 3 Mr. Prospector Stakes at Gulfstream Park. Let me see what this, how to pronounce that name? Sing another song. It's all run together. Bred by Herman Vanderbrook and trained by Ron Pellegrini, a good friend of mine. The Lord of the Night Stakes at Aqueduct went to Farhan. That's a 4-year-old colt. He's by Jazzle, who's now in South America. It's bred and is owned by Shadwell Farm. The We Are Dreaming Stakes at Aqueduct, Laguna Girl won that, bred by John D. Gunther. The W.L. McKnight Handicap at Calder went to Twilight Eclipse, bred by Epona Thoroughbreds. The Affectionately Stakes at Aqueduct winner was Teen Pauline, bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. The Gulfstream Park Derby at Gulfstream, where else? who's buried in Lincoln's tomb? Anyway, Hare Forest Farm, bred General A-Rod, who won the Gulfstream Park Derby. The Voodoo's Dancer Stakes at Gulfstream went to Tappacat, bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds and Gainesway Thoroughbreds. And the Blue Norther Stakes at Santa Anita was Sushi Empire. It's an empire maker, 3-year-old filly, bred by Eugene Melnick. Well, starting today and every day through the sales at Keeneland from noon till 3, there'll be a stallion showing at Spendthrift Farm. We'll see you over there. Hot food's going to be served, and we're looking forward to seeing you there. There are three new additions to the roster of stallions at Spendthrift Farm. Well, there are four, actually. Awesome Patriot, Flat Out, Jimmy Creed, and Leosan. Awesome Patriot won his first start at 2, placed in graded stakes. then won stakes at three and Hollywood Park, and he has an awesome pedigree. Full brother to Preakness winner Oxbow, and he's standing his first season stud for $20,000. And by awesome again, I'm a full sister to Hall of Famer Tisnow. Boy, that's a great pedigree. Awesome Patriot and a stud for $3,500. Flat Out is a multiple grade one winner of over $3,645,000 in North America's all-time leading money winner from the AP Indy line, and he stands $10,000. Jimmy Creed is a grade one stakes winner by Champion Sire Distorted Humor out of grade one winner Hooked on the Feeling. Damn, a two grade one winners. He was a $900,000 sales yearling, and he stands for $12,500. Leosan won grade one stakes at two, went on to win a place in nine stakes, five graded, for earnings of over $760,000. All fees payable, won the full stands of nurses. And Leosan is a son of tough sire Indian Charlie out of a stakes winner from a really tough female family. So come see them. Talk to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker. Always ask about breeding incentives. Check the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All righty. Check. Where am I now? Oh, yeah. Stakes winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show. Matt Frazier had another quarter horse winner down at Hialeah. He's had six of them, including a stakes winner, in last month. That was on the 27th. The rest of these are all winners at Turfway, and they were saddled by Paul Brown, Eduardo Caramori, Laurie Bielmer, Tim Shue, John Gaver, Paul Garcia, and Dale Loveland. Don't forget that open house over at Spendthrift today. And we're going to be going over post haste.
Big accident at Belmont Park.
Oh, no.
I was trying to find something out about it. I can't. I can't get it on the internet. Somebody put it on Facebook. Oh, Sherry O'Dowd put it up on Facebook.
Well, Belmont, they're running this early? It couldn't be. It's just not even 12 o'clock yet.
I don't know.
Maybe it was a training.
Maybe it was at the training center, or maybe it was at a barn. She just got a horrible accident at Belmont.
Oh.
Might have been a barn fire or something. It's so cold. Don't know. Awful. Oh, anyway.
Okay. All righty. Let's see what else I was going to talk about. I think we're about out of things to talk about. Now, I want to say thanks, Steve Stewart, for coming in.
That was a fun interview.
Yeah, I learned a whole lot about the trotting horse business. And, you know, I think I've been to the races out at the Red Mile. I was going to ask him about that, but we kind of ran out of time.
I'd like to go out to one of the sales sometime, see.
At the Red Mile?
Yeah, at Tattersall's.
Yeah.
Oh, they have Phasic Tipton.
Phasic Tipton.
Yeah. I guess Tattersall's is still.
Yeah. Well, we're on at the regular time next week, and I think it music means it's about time for us to spit out the bit.
I'm spitting.
And we're spitting. Okay.
We're heading over to Spendthrift.
All righty. And, well, thank you all for listening, if you did.
If you didn't, heck with you.
Both of you. Yeah. And we'll talk to you next week, same time, 10 till noon. Happy